We begin a new series this morning, and we are just covered on fear, overcoming fear. And this morning series is, in a sense, the series is linked to the previous one, but we are putting it as a new series, and it's dealing with human emotions. Every one of us being human have emotions in our lives. We have a spirit, we have a soul, and we live in a body. We have to deal with different kind of emotional states. And as we cover on principles to deal with our own emotions in our life, there are, of course, many aspects of emotions that we can consider. The anger, depression, loneliness, envy, jealousy, which is related to envy. But we will classify them into two main directions. All human emotions is classified in two directions. Either it's working outwards or it's working inwards. Either it causes us to make a display outward, like anger. Anger causes a person to react outward. Whereas depression causes a person to withdraw inward. And that leads, of course, to feelings of loneliness. And we could see one long line and draw a long line, one arrow going that way and one arrow going this way, one to the left, one to the right, and a human being is standing right in the middle, where sometimes we are drawn to feelings of anger that causes us to move into areas of violence, areas of reaction and irrationality that normally we would not move into. In other words, we react, and there's an outward display of our dissatisfaction on the inside. That would be towards anger. And on the way to anger could be feelings like jealousy or envy or hurt or bitterness that in the end leads to the outward display. And we could put between this long line, one towards the left, one towards the right, along this long line are other emotions like bitterness, envy, jealousy. And then there's a certain point when it goes inwards, like withdrawal, melancholy, depression, and loneliness, under its very extreme feelings of rejection. And they are drawn inwards. So all human emotions can be placed on a long line, and it's either causing us to move outwards or causing us to move inwards if we are not skillful at dealing with our own emotions. Because it's better and good to be balanced, to understand what is going on in our lives, and to be able to let the fruit of the Spirit, which is in Galatians 5, 22 and 23, the fruit of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, temperance, all these things to flow through our lives rather than these emotions. And so we're going to deal with one at a time after having seen how they are all in one long line. We're going to deal with emotions that cause us to react outwards. And foremost of them is the feeling of anger. Feelings of anger. How do we deal with anger in our lives? Every one of us experience anger, and perhaps you could experience it on 40 decibels where you're in a ravage, and smoke is coming out from your ears, in your nose, in your eyes. And in fact, the Hebrew word for anger actually means snorting. Hebrew word for anger means snorting, which means smoke is coming out from your nostrils. And anger can have different causes. We cannot touch on all the various causes, but we'll give some Bible examples of the causes of anger. Basically, anger is a symptom. Anger is a symptom of something else. You cannot deal with anger by itself. The anger is a manifestation of something else deeper. Now the something else deeper are quite varied. There could be many reasons for it. We'll give some Bible examples before we draw conclusions. In the book of Genesis, first of all, we want to look at Genesis chapter 27. Genesis 27, verse 41. The background of this story is how Jacob, for the second time, has cheated Esau, his brother. Esau has been robbed of his birthright earlier on over a stew of pottage and over a pottage of lentils. It's like red bean soup. Over that, he gave up his birthright. Now Jacob has come and also robbed the blessings of Esau from his father Isaac. When Esau heard about it, Esau was mad. There you have it, a feeling of hate. Hate, anger, all these are related. In fact, the feelings of hate is a camouflage of the feeling of anger. Unless you're angry, you cannot hate. Hate is an extreme form of anger. That would be right at the extreme. And if you notice people whom you, if you ever have anyone whom you hated, of course as Christian you should have love your enemies and all these things will be dealt with. But as we all know, to be realistic, these feelings do come, and there are times in your life that they come irrationally and you wonder how to deal with it. And all feelings of hate come from feelings of anger. All feelings of anger come from something else deeper. These are all symptoms. Our emotions are just a sort of monitor that reveals what is going on in our CPU, Central Processing Unit. What you see on the screen of your computer monitor is only what is being displayed by the Central Processing Unit of your computer. If you just off your monitor, all the things are still there, except that the monitor of your computer helps you to see what's going on in your CPU. So all the human emotions are only like the monitor of a computer. There's something else going on the inside in the CPU, the part that is called us, ourself, our personality, that is causing all those feelings to come forth. Here Esau has a tremendous feeling of hate, something that he never experienced before. You will notice as we look at this book called the Bible, that the feelings of anger and the feelings of hate only come at a certain moment, at a certain time. It can, of course, be dwelt upon, kept, nurtured over many long years. But always, they come forth out of some incident. In Genesis 27, verse 41, so Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing with which his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then I will kill my brother Jacob. Jesus himself knew that all violence and hatred and murder comes from anger. From anger. Which is why in the book of Matthew, in a Sermon on the Mount, he says that when we have anger in our heart, it has to be dealt with, for it would be the same like murdering your brother. That's in Matthew. Let's cross-reference the book of Matthew. Jesus tried to deal on the inside. He says in verse 21, "You have heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not murder,' and 'Whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment.' But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment." You notice that anger is linked to a cause. There's always a cause for anger. And you talk about people who are angry without a cause. Many times, the word cause means a reasonable reason. Many times, anger comes from unreasonable reasons. So when there are unreasonable reasons, it is anger without a cause. Or when there has not been a sort of face-to-face negotiation, then it's anger without a cause. In other words, you have not asked for an explanation. Here in the book of Genesis 27, verse 41, Esau had a reason. There is always, if you trace all the times when anger is displayed in the Bible by human beings, you will notice there is always an underlying cause. Sometimes it's an underlying action or underlying circumstances where the causes are not clear. But anger is always a symptom of something else. Remember when somebody is angry at you, or when you are angry at somebody, there is something else deeper that you have to deal with to free yourself of the anger. In verse 41, the reason is that Esau felt that he has been deprived. That's one of the first causes for anger. When a person feels that, like the bear, mother bear that has been robbed of its cubs, the anger comes. When a person feels rightly or wrongly that they have been deprived, they have been robbed, injustice has been done to them, or something where they deserve to have come upon their hands have not come. In other words, feelings of deprivation result in anger. Because Jacob was also wrong here. But notice what Rebecca said to Jacob. Verse 44-45, she advised Jacob, "And stay with him," that is Laban, "a few days, until your brother's fury turn away." Rebecca was frightened of the anger and says, go and stay with my brother Laban, who is your uncle, a few days, if she only knew that it will last 20 years. Go and stay with him until Esau's anger is gone. Verse 45. "Until your brother's anger turns away from you and he forgets what you have done to him." He did not forget. But in the end, he did forgive. Which many of us say that forgive means to forget. But you ask any human being, they always say, "I can forgive, but I can't forget." The only person who seems to be able to do it is God, who when he says he forgives, he forgets. So we all need a sea of forgetfulness to throw the things we need to forget into it. Here in Genesis 27, we see the first cause of anger, deprivation. Someone who has been deprived of their rights, of blessings, of whatever things they are supposed to come to them.
in your own working life, perhaps you're due for a promotion and your colleague gets it and not you. Guess what? Esau's anger comes up in you. So who is this Jacob? Especially you feel if Jacob has by hook and by crook outmaneuvered you. You have feelings of anger coming on the inside. It's caused by being deprived. The second cause of anger that can come forth in a person's life, and this time we look over here at the book of Exodus chapter 32. Exodus chapter 32 verse 19. Here Moses was angry. He says here, so it was as soon as he came near the camp that he saw the calf and the dancing. So Moses' anger became hot and he cast the tablets out of his hand and broke them at the foot of the mountain. Then he took the calf which they had made, burned it in a fire, ground it to powder, and he scattered it on the water and made the children of Israel drink it. Says in verse 19 that Moses was hot with rage and anger. In this place, Moses was angry because the Israelites disobeyed God. Here is an area where Christians feel what Moses felt. Quote, unquote, righteous anger. What rights do we have for righteous anger? Well, perhaps it's a principle that has to be dealt with. And somebody is not keeping to those principles. Perhaps people whom you love. See, in this particular case, part of the reason was a righteous principle. But the other underlying cause is also the rejection of Moses. Do you know that the whole incident behind it carries it with a theme of rejection of Moses? When Moses came down or heard from God about the disobedience of the people, while he was up there, the people were saying, we do not know what has happened to this Moses. You see, it was not only a rejection of God's principle, it was a rejection of Moses. And what was happening was not only righteous anger, quote unquote. In the New Testament, we will learn that we have no place for righteous anger. Wrath belongs to God, not to us. We do not play the judge. But the underlying reason, as we look carefully, is because of Moses' rejection. Then why didn't God deal with him? Not immediately. Because he has a reason for being angry, and it looks like there are some righteous anger involved, or over a principle which God also was angry. You see, it so happened that God was also angry at the Israelites. Therefore, when Moses demonstrated anger, which God did not ask him to, God didn't say, Moses, go down and demonstrate my anger. He never said that. God only said, Moses, the people have sinned, and Moses came down and in a fury. And that was one time when his face didn't shine, but his face was red with fury and anger. It was a different light that came from his face. If you examine people who have a righteous anger, quote unquote, behind it is spiritual pride or a rejection of their being a representative of God. I've sat and counseled with people from other churches where sometimes it is the pastor or is a spiritual leader who is angry at people for a right reason. But the only thing to remember is this. anger never wins anybody. Anger only loses people. Anger is such that you could win an argument and lose your friend. You can be right and angry and lose those whom you're trying to convince. Anger has never been the instrument to win friends or to win people over to do the right thing. But basically, it has always been a rejection of Moses' leadership, or in those cases that I counsel, a rejection of the pastor, a rejection of the leader, and so the anger comes. What shall we put it as a second cause? Rejection. Deprivation. Rejection can cause a person to be angry. See, anger is the opposite reaction. Rejection can cause you to react two ways. It can cause you to withdraw inwards and say, I'm no good. Or it can cause you to react at those who rejected you and say, those buzzards and turkeys. The way Kenneth Hagin would use. He doesn't use four letter words, he doesn't use all these things, but when he's angry in his preaching, not mine, he pass the buck. He calls those believers buzzards and turkeys. What's a buzzard? I'm not very sure, but I think it's a type of turkey. And in one of his tapes on how to be led by the Spirit, and I'm not sure how he got on that tape. How to be led by the Spirit. And in one of those, he was talking about how he had to obey God and the sufferings that were involved in being led by the Spirit, and how he was pastoring a small little church. And there were times when he was angry at all the people for not following what God wants to do, or for the disobedience of God. And he talks about how on Sunday he felt like catching them, skinning them alive, and hanging them all along the sides of the church walls. And just before he went to the pulpit, the Lord dealt with his life, and when all his feelings were disappointment and anger, he opened the Bible and he preached about heaven. Keep preaching about heaven. And I'm sure being a church believer or Christian for some time, whether you've been in this church or in various churches, you've seen at times that a preacher, a man of God, when they're angry, it comes out in their sermon. And of course, we must take the fact that the bigger the crowd, sometimes when you preach something, you have, in your mind, it has, of course, it has to do with the integrity of the person and the person's own heart. Where sometimes, as a preacher, you preach some sermon, and people think you're speaking about them, when you have no idea even what they're going through. And of course it's taken wrongly, that one it cannot be helped. There are some real situations that way. But of course where it's real and the preacher has a real grudge or unforgiveness, it does come out. Like Pastor Teo, one of my close friends in the ministry, and both of us know of one minister whom he and I were trying to help. He'd gone from place to place and could not fit into any church and could not succeed in the ministry. And finally, he was placed in one of the outreaches. And we tried to help him, Pastor Teo tried to help him, everybody wants to help him in the ministry. And then he still failed. Couldn't succeed. And I sat down with Pastor Teo and said, what do you think is wrong? And he said that he had sat to hear this man preach. And say that because of the hurt, the rejection from his past, whatever message he preached, it still comes out. The spirit of rejection, the spirit of bitterness, and spirit of anger, all this coming out from him. As a result, he could not build people up. Like I have mentioned, anger doesn't build anybody up. He only separates and isolates you. We have to deal with that in our life. Here, in the book of Exodus, Moses' leadership was rejected. He didn't actually have a right to be angry, although he should and demonstrated anger. Later on, You recall the incident when God told him, when the Israelites, once again after many, many times, said, if you were Moses, and some of us, if we were in the position of Moses, we may not even have lasted that long. Always these fellows are complaining. Just coming across the Red Sea, the first thing, no water, they say, we want to go home. There are only about three million of them, and only two are for you. All the time. And every time they have a problem, they complain, and you are the target and scapegoat. If some of us were leading that group, we may not have survived even the first 10 days in the wilderness. Moses had to have them for 40 years. No wonder he became a very meek man. Have you ever wondered why the Bible says he was the meekest of all men? You don't expect him to get meekness without tribulation. I would assure you all meekness comes from tribulation. For tribulation worketh patience, and patience in the end leads you to meekness. You have been through the storm, you have been through all kinds of things, and you choose not to react, you end up having a very meek nature. But Moses reacted at one point when he was angry at the Israelites for asking for water the umpteen time. And God said, Moses, speak to the rock. And Moses was so angry, he took his rod and he hit the rock and he said, what do you think, you rebellious people, to bring water out of this rock? And the water came out. And God said, Moses, you were wrong to be angry. Because of that, Moses, you cannot enter the promised land. Moses was so sorry. Being angry is like getting into a brand new car. Nice and lovely, shiny, polished. You could comb your hair on the shine. You get into it, and it's so lovely. It feels so nice to release the anger. And you start on the engine and you drive off. You hear the harmonious sound of the nice new engine. And if you're driving along the highway, you discover that there were no brakes. Being angry feels so good at first and doing whatever you feel. But after you have done it, you feel miserable. You wish you had the brakes earlier. But it's a bit late to brake. Rejection causes anger. In the book of Numbers, chapter 22, we only consider some incidences. Some anger is based on principles. Some are not. Numbers chapter 22. Now there are different degrees of anger. It doesn't mean that an angry person is somebody who breaks a chair, breaks a cup, or breaks a kitchen equipment, or breaks something. Anger can come out even in people's words. Sniping words, sneering words, mocking words. Do you know that mockery and sarcasm, not the sarcasm, is based on a type of anger. And God has to deal with our life in those areas. Numbers chapter 22. Here is Balaam, who was supposed to have known God to a certain extent, but who was offered money by Balak in order to prophesy against the Israelites. And in chapter 22, verse 24, finally as Balaam was on his way against God's will to prophesy against the Israelites just for the money, says here, let's read from verse 23, now the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand, and the donkey turned aside out of the way and went into the field. So Balaam struck the donkey to turn her back onto the rod. And here is Balaam and a donkey, just two creatures. One a human being, one a donkey. As he was riding on a donkey along the road, suddenly this donkey, or which saw the angel, which Balaam didn't see, and he turned off and started going into the field. Because Balaam was angry at his donkey, strike his donkey and pull the donkey back. Verse 28:4. Then the angel of the Lord stood in a narrow path between the vineyards, with a wall on this side and a wall on the other side. It is a very long, narrow passageway. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she pushed herself against the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall, so he struck her again. So this donkey was trying to protect Balaam without Balaam knowing. As this donkey was carrying Balaam, saw the angel was standing there. So this donkey goes to the side to avoid the angel. But in doing so, the donkey crushed Balaam's feet. There was a sound, sickening sound of bones breaking. And of course, Balaam would not be keeping quiet and saying, "That's interesting. The bone is being crushed." Balaam would say, "Ah!" And they passed by. He was angry. He was angry at the donkey. It's surprising what people can be angry against. Can be angry against an organization, could be angry against a person, could be angry against a donkey. Could be angry against your dog, your cat, your turtle, your bird. Surprising what people can be angry against. Angry sometimes at their car, their bicycle, their motorbike. Kick it. Balaam was angry at a donkey. Verse 27. Third time the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she lay down under Balaam. So Balaam's anger was aroused. And this time when the angel of the Lord blocked in such a way that the donkey cannot pass, the donkey just stepped down. Balaam must be wondering what kind of thing is happening today. What's going on? With his leg all bandaged up, with the donkey refusing to move. It says here, Balaam was angry. Now what is the cause of this anger? This anger came from self and selfishness. Balaam's anger here is because he cannot get his own way. Any parents who have brought up little children will tell you, children always go through all those symptoms of anger when they play, they fight, they fuss, and they learn to forgive one another. But little children get angry at each other because they cannot get their own way. And many times I've disciplined the children and told them that in this world, in this life, nobody gets their own way all the time. They want anybody to get their own way, they have to end up living on a mountain all alone and you can have your own way. Or on a little island where there is nobody else but you, a few orangutans, and all those wild creatures, whales, that's all. But when we choose to live in a society, we have to accept the fact that there must be a give and take situation. And that is a thing that we always try to, whenever the children are disciplined for wanting their own way, when they say, we only want it this way, we want this thing today, we want this, or we want it done this way. No. In this life, there is a give and take. Now, we wouldn't always want to deprive them. That will have a kind of thing also. But we see that there must be a give and take. And they must learn that they cannot have their way all the time. In the same way, as children grow into adults, it comes into adult life. Perhaps we are a spoiled child. Perhaps we have always been getting our way, maneuvering here and there, either by hook or by crook. We always have got our own way. So there comes a time when we cannot get our own way. One day we hit on the wall. We still try. But in the process of trying, at a time when we couldn't get our own way, feelings of anger come. All Balaam wanted was, "I want it this way. I want to go to Balak. I want to do that so that I could have a profit." You see, it was a selfish motive. Purely out of self. himself to have his own way. So what's the root cause of Balaam's anger? Selfishness. He's thinking about himself. He's not thinking about the Israelites. He's not thinking about God. It's self that's involved. A selfish person will be an angry person. Not all anger is justified. But human beings are very clever. Before a human being sins, before a robber robs a bank, before a thief steals, they justify in their mind to appease their conscience. In the same way, all human emotions will be justifiable. But in the presence of God, it cannot be justified. In the end, the Lord opened in verse 28 the donkey's mouth. Balaam was so angry at the donkey, he literally exploded. And like many men, or sometimes ladies, when they're angry, they hit at a donkey. For some men, they hit at an object. For some ladies, they hit at their kitchen equipment. And then after that, it's like I say, anger is like getting in a new car, driving on the highway, discovering there are no brakes. You don't know how to stop. Some of you felt when that happened in your own life, you said, oh no, I've just lost my salvation. You haven't. You have just lost your cool and your meekness. Which is what the Bible says in the book of Ephesians 4, be angry, sin not. And sin not. We'll talk about that later when we talk about dealing with it. The feeling of anger must be dealt with at the root. You cannot just deal with the anger by itself. And Balaam was so angry that he didn't think for a moment when the Lord opened the donkey's mouth and the donkey said in verse 28, as he was beating the donkey suddenly opened the mouth and said, with reason, what have I done that you have struck me 3 times? And Balaam said, without even thinking, because you aroused and you abused me, and if I had a sword in my hand, I would kill you. Do you know this? All anger leads to murder. All anger is destructive. There is no such thing as righteous anger. We human beings cannot handle wrath. Only God can handle wrath. So there is no excuse for even righteous anger. We are incapable of handling it. God's anger can be tempered. Because when God is angry, He thinks about the benefits of people's lives. When human beings are angry, it's destructive. As I said again, all anger has to be dealt with, for it cannot win you any friends. Here, the donkey replied in verse 30, am I not your donkey? That's a fantastic donkey. Wish I had a donkey like that. To reason, on which you have ridden since I became yours. And then the donkey said, have I ever done this to you before? Balaam didn't even think. And one of the things that we will look later when we deal with anger is this. Anger is always irrational. You cannot reason with an angry man. Surprisingly, you cannot. You have to deal with the anger differently. That is why some of you in your relationship with one another, perhaps when you are angry at each other, perhaps it could be some of you husbands and wives, or perhaps your own family members, or perhaps your friends, your employer and your employee, in a fit of anger of you or the person concerned, you try reasoning. It didn't work. It's not the way to deal with it. Because anger produces irrationality. Things that people will do, not do normally, they will do in a fit of anger. regrets come later, sometimes too late. And Balaam said, no, no, you haven't done this for all these years. And the Lord opened his eyes, saw the angel of the Lord, and he realized that the donkey had saved his life. I didn't know what he did with his donkey afterwards, because it was not mentioned. Whether afterwards he apologized to the donkey and the donkey said, I forgive you. Or not, we do not know. But if I were in his position, I would be thankful for the donkey all my life. That it has a special donkey. And if the donkey died later, give the donkey a decent burial. It's a tremendous donkey. But the third reason and the third root of anger is selfishness and wanting our own way. And when it's not done and it's not having our own way, the anger comes. The fourth reason for anger is related, is in the book of Numbers 24. It's related but slightly different. Chapter 24, verse 10. When Balaam did not do what Balak wanted, instead of cursing the Israelites, he blessed the Israelites. King Balak, who had wanted to pay money to Balaam, said in verse 10, Balak's anger was aroused against Balaam, and he struck his hands together. And Balak said to Balaam, I call you to curse my enemies, and look, you have bountifully blessed them these three times. Now therefore, flee to your place. I said, I will greatly honor you, but in fact, the Lord has kept you back from honor. Not the Lord, it was him. But do you notice that Bala used the Lord's name when he was angry, which was not justified? He said, Balaam, the Lord wanted to bless you, but because you didn't do what I tell you, therefore the Lord didn't want to bless you. Have you ever encountered people who are angry using the Lord's name in vain? I hear Balak was angry, and when he was angry, instead of striking something, you notice he says that he struck his head. And he said, oh, blah, 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 blah. It's a demonstration of anger. Balak's anger is related to number three, which is he wanted his own way. But here's where I put it under a different point for its importance. Bala is a man of authority and is a king. The higher we rise in authority, the greater meekness we need to have. When we do not have that, we become like Bala, where we become oppressive. In other words, it's related to number three, but number three, I put it as a separate point. So number three, it could be someone who just want to have their own way all the time. They don't have the authority to have their own way. They just want to have their own way, and when they cannot have it, they react. It could be an employer against the employee against the employer. They want this way, and the employee here doesn't want it. And so they get angry at it. Employer could have good reasons. And the one, it could be someone, number three, could be someone under authority, where the one in authority doesn't give you the kind of way you wanted it. You want it done this way, but the one in authority said no. You got two choices. Get angry and do it, get angry and don't do it. But the third one is better. Don't get angry and just submit. Number four, I separated it because here is the one in authority, the one with power to honor, power to reward, and power not to reward. And there's no check on the person's anger except the Lord or somebody else in higher authority. And that is why in the kingdom of God, we must realize that even as Christians, whether we have secular authority or spiritual authority, that the authority must be wielded with meekness and love. It is easy for me to command someone to do something and they will do it. I have a right to, But I never used that right. I never used that right. Because it's not Christ-like. In the secular world, some of you have the right to command obedience. But if you're Christ-like, you never use that right. Because it would be obedience without pleasure. And the people who obey do not enjoy obeying. God Himself doesn't want us to obey without enjoying obeying Him. So Balak was angry. And this same anger is demonstrated in Daniel chapter 3 by King Nebuchadnezzar. And I cannot think of anybody else above him in secular authority in his time. Only God can deal with his life. But in Daniel chapter 3, they had made this figure and caused everybody to worship the figure. But it was reported to Nebuchadnezzar in verse 12, Daniel 3 verse 12. There are certain Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not paid due regard to you. In other words, number 4 is related also to respect and regard. You are in authority and you want people to obey you. It's different from number 3. Just part of it is having your own way. But it's greater than that. Because behind it, in number three, it was selfishness. But in number 4, that selfishness has become pride. Where you want to be honored. You want to be respected. And instead of getting that respect in a right way, you want to get that respect in an angry way. As I mentioned again, anger wins you no friends. If you want respect from people, you have to walk like Jesus do. Because respect can never be demanded. It has to be given. Just like submission can never be forced or coerced, it must be given by free choice. In chapter 3, when the king heard that, verse 13, Nebuchadnezzar in rage and fury. Now here he is angry. He is a king. He has authority to bestow honor, the authority to command death or to command life. What powerful authority he had. Do you notice, even if it's true that his subjects do not obey him, he could have given the command without anger? Do you notice that the anger makes no difference except it makes him look worse? Even if it's true that they were disobedient subjects, he could say, for this reason, we will pass this sentence. Now he doesn't have to throw a tantrum and let smoke and snorting come out and say, kill them! Do you know why? It's a bad reflection on the king too. Anger is always unnecessary. Deal with it, get rid of it. And he commanded his people to be brought before him. And when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, we cannot because our principles and our conscience do not allow us to worship other gods. Basically, that's what they say. Verse 19. Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury. Before, he was just having fury. Now, he was full of it. He was bloated up with fury. And the expression on his face changed. He didn't look like Nebuchadnezzar anymore. He looked like a bull. And he commanded the furnace to be heated 7 times more than it was. Which is a foolish command because when his big generals came to open the door of the furnace, the big generals all died. It was a foolish command. As I say, all anger is irrational. It becomes irrational. Verse 22, because the king's command was urgent. When a person is angry, the person is urgent. Now! 7 times hotter. And the guards and the wise men and the king's advisors may be saying, I don't think it's good. This instrument is not made for that. No! And verse 22, it was urgent. Anything that is urgent, irrationally, has an element of anger. Learn this lesson in life. Always, when you have a situation to deal with that you feel you must deal with now, there is always anger involved. If you cannot pray now, but you want to deal now, anger is involved. Admit it. Because where there's no anger, you can just say, well, let me fast 3 days over it before I make a decision. Or something like that. Let me pray over that before I do something. Take it from me. I learned this lesson in the ministry. In the early days of ministry, when I wanted something done, it has to be done now. And when there is a problem arose, see, some people don't realize that the things I taught are the things I learned from the school of hard knocks. When I say that 99% of church problems can be dealt with in prayer, it doesn't mean from day one I enter the ministry, I start applying there. No, it could be from year 8 in the ministry. But earlier than that, when there's a church problem and a situation, I want to deal with it now. Until I mature in God and I realize that I don't have to deal with it now. That if I go on my knees to pray, God removes my reaction to the problem. And remember this. Every situation and problem is always very minor and small. But it's the reactions compounded with it that makes it different. In other words, it could be a small matter where somebody has done something that is obviously wrong. But you, instead of dealing with it calmly, with meekness and love, you react against it from a small little problem that is about one square feet or one square meter, it explodes to about 3 square meters. Then because you reacted, the other person also reacts. So it's now 3 cubes, which is 9 square feet big in problem. And because it's now 9 square feet, everybody can see it. And see, everybody see, everybody pour their reaction in. And it's compounded. It's now 9 cubes. It's 81 square meters big now. Before long, if you cube something, the exponential curve is so great that you reach a point you cannot deal with it anymore. The problem becomes bigger than you. If you examine it very closely, it's a reaction to the problem that deals with it. Now when we deal with all this area, everybody always say he's speaking about me. Because every one of us have experienced our anger in some way. But I want you to know, God is my witness. I've spoken to some people before about what I plan to teach. When I was teaching on fear, I had already pre-planned that after my second service, I'm going to go into situational ethics. And the second service, I've already told some who, my, the first service, I already told some people. Even prior to that, when I was teaching fear, they said, what are the other topics you have in mind? I said, well, after teaching on fear, God has spoken to me to teach on dealing with our emotions. So it's important for us to realize that if we feel that it's speaking about me, these are things that we're just talking about from God's word, and I'm illustrating from my own life, things I have to overcome. Remember that if I'm meek today, it's not because I'm meek from day one. My father was bad tempered. It's natural for me to be bad tempered. You can ask my family members. My sister is here attending the church. Ask her, my family, who is bad tempered? They'll tell you, Peter Tan. Get angry. So what I'm speaking about are things that I have to learn from life. And I'm sharing it from my heart. There are times where if I were the old man, I would have reacted. God knows what will happen if I react. By learning God to partake of the nature of Christ and to instead act in love and let love come forth. Which are things that we are sharing with you how to overcome it in your life. So here is Nebuchadnezzar, and his anger is of the fourth category. It comes from one his own way like a third, but it's a pride in war. And it's not just pride, it's the wanting attention. It's like a little child who throws a tantrum. You know all tantrums are anger. Why does a child throw a tantrum? Because the child is not being paid attention to and couldn't get attention. So the child throws a temper, put out a smoke cloud so everyone just can see the smoke. Say, oh, now I realize you're there. The same way someone who has been saying something for some time and nobody pays attention, so the person gets angry, explodes, and a mushroom cloud forms because it's a nuclear explosion. And a little ball of light comes forth because it's a hydrogen bomb. And everyone says, oh, I didn't know you were there. But when they see that you're there, they see that you're there in the wrong way. So having seen, and I'm sure we have seen conclusively, that anger is only a symptom. It's a symptom of something deeper. When you're dead to self, it's impossible to be angry. How do we deal with anger? I give you three keys to deal with anger. First of all, we will read Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 26 says, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. It's not telling us be angry, but it's saying when you're angry, do not allow the anger to lead you into sin. You remember that when Cain was angry at his brother, God said that sin lies at his door. Because anger is only one micrometer to sin. It's just a thin, fine line where a little bit more you cross into sin. Which is why it's dangerous. To be angry is to go right to the gates of hell, not in a positive way to tear it down, but to enter into it. Which is what Jesus said, that when we have anger in our heart, that we are in danger of the judgment and damnation. That's Matthew 5. He's trying to show us that anger is a reaction that brings us very close to sin. Paul warns, don't sin. How do we deal with it? First of all, we look at Proverbs. All are from Proverbs. Proverbs 19. Let's look over at the book of Proverbs 19. As we learn to deal with anger in our life. It is normal in our human emotions to experience anger. But to experience it and to deal with it is two different ways, matter. It's just like every Christian would have wrong thoughts thrown into their life. As long as you're on this earth, you will have to fight wrong thoughts trying to lodge itself on your mind. Only in heaven are you free completely from all temptation. In the same way, as long as you're on this life, the emotions will feel it. For your emotions are only the monitor that tells you what your CPU is going through. And every time you experience deprivation and you experience you wanting your own way or pride that tries to come in or rejection or any of these areas, you will have the feeling of anger. Remember that feeling is a symptom. There are a lot of sicknesses in the natural that cause fever. Fever is a reaction of your body to the sickness. There are a few types of sickness, many types of sickness that can cause fever. The doctors doesn't just try to cure the fever, they want to cure the cause of the fever. That fever, the rise in your body temperature, is a reaction of your body to kill the bacteria or germ or virus. It is not a sickness in itself. The sickness is something else that we have to deal with. Now in Proverbs, as we deal with anger, Proverbs 19 verse 11, the discretion of men makes him slow to anger, and it is to his glory to overlook a transgression. Do you notice the discretion? The word discretion is from the Hebrew word that means an understanding person. A person who used wisdom, a wise person, is slow to anger. Not a knowledgeable person. You can have knowledge without wisdom. Knowledge is to know a lot. It can lead to pride. But wisdom is knowledge with experience. There's temperance involved. The discretion of a person makes them slow to anger. The more you grow to understand people, the more you grow to understand the principles of God and understand God, the more you understand what is in people's hearts, the cry in their hearts, the reason for why they do the things they do, you become slow to anger. Another scripture is the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 7, verse 9. Do not hasten in your spirit to be angry, for anger rests in the bosom of fools. In other words, anger is irrational. It leads us to foolish actions and foolish deeds, and to speak foolish words. If any one of you have been in a relationship, whether it's your husband or your wife, and you will know that perhaps his wife, your husband say things when they're angry that they don't really mean it. Because anger is in the bosom of fools. Foolish words come out, foolish actions come out that are not really meant. Or husband, when your wife is angry, there are things that she could be speaking that she normally would not speak. Or it could be employer or employee. That when the anger is there, the foolishness has come in. Which is why now we understand why Paul said, when the anger comes, not be angry, but in a state of anger, in the state of being angry, do not sin. Because the spirit of anger and the spirit of foolishness are one. It will lead us to irrationality. We have to watch against it. We have to guard against it. And there is a reasoning in anger. All anger has a rationality, but the rationality is irrationality. The reasoning is not sound. It's not sound at all. It will conclude to the wrong conclusion. And we need to pray and dig at the source of the anger. We have to examine it. Why are we angry? Is it because we are having rejection? Is it because we are being deprived of things that we should have? Is it because of pride? Or is it because we just want our own way and our own way is not adhered to by people? Is it just because we want attention? We have to examine the root. When you have the feeling of anger, ask God. And you say, I don't feel like asking God when I'm angry. Well, just go aside and call to God. Say, I'm not sure God hears me when I'm angry. He will hear you, except that you probably be speaking much louder. Sometimes people are angry at God. Say, God! God say, don't shout, I can hear you down there. And it's amazing the kind of things God takes that we cannot take. When we're angry, examine the root of the anger and learn. How do we overcome anger? By gaining the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of understanding. The spirit of wisdom and the spirit of understanding is the cure that brings discretion to cause us to be slow to anger. Why is it that Jesus could look at the woman who committed adultery, where everybody was angry and wanted to stone her, and Jesus did not? Because he had a spirit of understanding. And he understand why she did those things. She understand the needs in her life. The spirit of understanding causes us to be slow to anger. Chapter 15 of Proverbs, verse 1. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. I will put a harsh word and action. Remember that when you're angry, point number two, dealing with your anger, is that your anger came about because there was something boiling in you. But one harsh word or one wrong incident spark up or let the cat out of the bag. All the time the cat was in the bag. Remember that what you're angry at is usually a harsh word or harsh action. All your anger is usually directed subjectively. You say, I'm angry because the person said that word. Did you notice it? Or, I'm angry because the person did that to me. It is quote unquote a harsh action or word. But remember this, the harsh action or word only releases something that was sitting on your inside. In other words, there was already a bag of poison in you. And that harsh word or the harsh action cut that poison and releases it. And you blame the person or the people or the organization that spoke that harsh word. Or the peoples or organization that did the harsh action. Remember this. That if you were alright, if your inside was not full of poison or bitterness, if your inside did not have the hurt already there, that harsh word, that harsh action will not feel anything in your life. It will not stir up anger, it will only at the most stir a hurt. Which is why many people say at their first hurt, they just say they feel hurt and they withdraw that side. Not everybody reacts by coming this direction and react. People who are hurt normally withdraw. Withdrawal is the first stage. Reacting is because there's no more room for withdrawal. You are hurt once, you withdraw. Hurt twice, you withdraw. Hurt thrice, you withdraw. By the 100 times, umpteen times, there is no more room in your subconscious to store it. you burst out. And the reason you burst out is because there's a lot of other things long inside. Because every one of us were made with a capacity to tolerate pain and suffering. When you reach beyond the point of tolerance, you become angry. God has made all of us with a little bag inside us that says, this is where you can store tolerance and a hurt and then give it to Jesus later in your prayer life. And the moment you're hurt, you could take it and you go back and you pray it through. But when that bag in you, in your soul, is full, just that one tiny straw that can break the camel's back. You see, how can a straw break a camel's back? Because the camel's back was already full. It is just at that one point, it's just like this pulpit. It has a maximum capacity of how much weight it can carry. Now, I'm going to be careful, I'm not going to push it too hard. It has suffered once. If I keep piling up heavy things on this pulpit, it will reach a maximum load. If beyond the maximum load, even by one gram, it will break. But it's not because of that 1 gram extra that broke it. It's because it has reached the maximum load. This building and every building has a maximum load. Which is why when they build a tall building, they got to dig deep foundation. For the engineers, the structural engineers have to calculate what load, what stress this one has to stand. If an engineer had to build a bridge, they have to calculate how much stress can this bridge take. And they will prevent vehicles that will load it beyond the stress of the bridge to go past, because it will collapse the bridge when it reaches a certain point. And that is why we must understand that our reaction to anger is only the straw that breaks the camel's back. Before that, the camel's back had been holding a lot of straws. In the first place, we must ask ourselves, how did the other straws came there? But always when you're anger, you will not be thinking of all the other straws. You'll only be thinking of that one straw that broke your back. That one harsh word or that one action. So if you realize that anger is only a symptom, and what you're angry at is not the real thing, there's something else on the inside that needs to be dealt with, we begin to learn to draw to God. When the one straw that breaks the camel's back comes, you come to Jesus and you say, Lord Jesus, I cannot take it anymore. Some people don't realize what I do in my private life. In the ministry, there were many times when I came to God and I said, God, I can't take it anymore. But every time I cried, Jesus have always come and said, I'll enlarge you. I'll lift you up. Many have been the times that I come to God with tears in my eyes and say, God, I cannot take it anymore. And Jesus always has been saying, I'll take it for you. And I come out with strength to deal with a situation. Because we learn to go to the Lord Jesus. That's how we should deal with it. The third area, and the last, in Proverbs 21, verse 14. Verse 14. A gift in secret testifies anger, and a bribe behind the back strong wrath. Now of course there are principles here that we do not violate, and although here they translate it as a bribe in verse 43, it's actually the word gift. A gift is different from a bribe. A bribe is something that you pay illegally for a favor. A gift is something that you give irrespective of the person, organization, or any favor return. But here it's telling us something. A gift is related to grace. When we deal with anger, we need grace. anger cannot be appeased by law and legality. Remember that all your life. A lot of people try to appease an angry person, could be employer, employee, by legality. Okay, let's discuss your right. What right do you have? What right do I have? Okay, you take all your rights. I take all rights. Go to the court, fight it out. Everybody fights their rights out. Do you know at the end of the court case where everybody get what they want, they feel unhappy? Because your anger is not dealt with. Anger can never be appeased by legality and by the law. We many times think, tick for tack, that's how you deal with anger. It will never be appeased. Anger has to be dealt with by grace. You have to go beyond the law to deal with anger. You have to reach to lengths that are beyond the legality. That's what the words mean. In other words, if there's a situation where the employer-employee is in disagreement, or perhaps it's two business partners who is angry at each other, and they think that if both sides get what they want, they'll be happy. No, my friend. If you want to really pacify anger, deal with the hurts in a person's life, you have to go outside of that situation and be willing to give way and be willing to give in beyond the legality. You cannot just deal on a legal basis. It will be like trying to win arguments and losing friends. Anger must be dealt with outside the situation. Many of you may have husband-wife quarrels, family quarrels or squabbles, brothers and sisters quarrels, squabbles. And you thought that the quarrel usually is over something. It could be over money, it could be over certain decision, it could be over finances or certain situation. And you thought that just by settling the issue, you have settled it, you're wrong. It will not be settled until you go beyond the issue. Why? You could be angry at your husband, but have you say your husband never spends a lot of time with you, always working all the time, and say, you must spend time with me, and then you'll be happy, and they spend time, you're still not happy. Her husband angrily said, okay, I will have budget 2 days a week, 8 hours. And when that happens, they're still not happy. Do you know why? There is other hurts and needs that are there that have to be dealt with. Issues alone do not heal. You have to go beyond. The husband cannot say, I'm going to spend 1 day a week, 2 days a week with you. The husband has to say that it's not just spending. He may have to go to extent. In that situation, it may be a bouquet a week or so. Flowers every... And if he spent all the things and he spent a day, the wife is not happy. But when the husband, without being asked, not only spends that time with the wife, but throughout that week of quote-unquote repentance or what, sends flowers every day. One rose on a Sunday, one rose on a Monday, one rose on a Tuesday, one rose on a Wednesday, one rose on a Thursday, one rose on a Friday. By the time you reach Saturday, it was a bouquet. The wife was on the floor, fainted. He has gone beyond the requirement. Can you understand? The anger has been dealt with. But if he had just said, alright, I'll just be on there on Saturday, the anger is still not that way. The issue has been that way. And anger underlies other things, not only issues. In other words, you have to move into grace and the gifts. When you're dealing with angry people, or you yourself are angry, you need grace in your life. And whatever you want in your state of anger, you will never be satisfied with. And we can only learn wisdom to relate one to another. Look for areas of gifts go beyond the law. Many people, business people who are angry at one another, they say, I'll see you in court. See you there. That doesn't solve anything. They should say, let's meet each other over the teh tarik store. Let's meet each other for lunch. Can I come to your house? See, this is going beyond. At first the person says, no, I'll speak to you just at the gate. Alright, just there. But if you will be honest, you say that if people are willing to go all the way into the grace and the gift area, you realize that a lot of times it's due to a lot of other situations and hurts that are there, that we need humility and meekness to be willing to deal with that situation and come down to the situation. When we are all, if every believer is prepared to do that, there will be great oneness and unity in the body of Christ. So that's the third area. If you yourself are the angry one, go to God for grace. If somebody is angry at you, go beyond the law, go beyond the issues. Do something more. What we want is not just solving a problem. We want the mending of relationships, which is why we have to learn to deal with our emotions so that relationships can flow in the way Jesus wants it. And if you really will be willing to walk the way of love, you realize that people who are real believers in their heart never reject agape love. Unconditional love. You don't put conditions to the love. You don't say, I love you if you do this. Never. If you try conditional love, it doesn't succeed. You must be willing to give unconditional love. Whether you do this or not, I'll still love. And if we walk in unconditional love with people, you won't find that you end up with the grace of God and the blessings of God. Not only that, the whole body of Christ becomes much better. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we ask that you minister grace into our lives as we walk in you, O Lord. And as we deal with the subject of anger and in our emotions, that you expose the depth of our heart, Lord. That we be free to admit before you our feelings. That we could draw grace from you, O Father God. That your grace will heal us. Your grace will mend us. Your grace will make us whole in the way you want us to be. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Let's rise and sing that song, oh, let the Son of God enfold us with His Spirit and with His love. Oh, let the Son of God enfold us with His Spirit and His love. Let Him fill your heart and satisfy your soul. Oh, let Him have the things that hold you and the Spirit light and the world is set upon your life and make you whole.